Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on the Bar Council's Young Barristers Committee. What is it and what do they do? I am joined by the chair of the Bar Council's Young Barristers Committee, Joanne Kane. Joanne is an experienced junior barrister practising serious crime and fraud. She has acted in multi-million pound fraud investigations and in complex cases. Joanne, good morning. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Hattie. It's really nice to be here.
Excellent. It's a great pleasure. And we're here to talk about the Bar Council's Young Barristers Committee, also referred to as the YBC. It represents all barristers in their first 7 years of practice, internally within the Bar Council and externally with stakeholders, including the Judiciary, Ministry of Justice and the Bar Standards Board. And I found this very interesting, although I knew it a few years ago, but I think it's interesting to our listeners to hear as well, that a young barrister is defined by experience and not by their age. And I think this is probably the only place it happens where, for example, a newly qualified barrister in their 50s would be as young as a newly qualified barrister in their 20s. So
absolutely.
I like that, Joanne. So please, can you tell us a little bit more about the Bar Council's Young Barristers Committee, please?
So I think, Hattie, what you have identified is actually the kind of main thing about the YBC. Some mature students or people who've come from a different career choose to be a barrister at a later stage, and they maybe don't think of themselves as young, but for our definition purposes, they absolutely are. We're essentially the body that represents people in their first 7 years of practice. So that includes pupils, and then people up to that end point. So although we don't represent students, we obviously have a lot of sympathy for a lot of the problems that students sometimes face, because it's in fairly recent memory for a lot of our members. And essentially we sit as a committee of the Bar Council, under the Bar Council umbrella, and we meet every 6 to 8 weeks on a Friday evening, and we talk about all sorts of issues affecting the young bar or the bar more widely. And we, at the moment, are focusing on all sorts of issues, which I'm sure we'll come on to in due course. But we essentially are always looking through the lens of, does something that's being proposed either by the Bar Council or something external, how will that impact the young bar? And if it does, who should we be speaking to make sure that our voices are heard? So it's a really engaged young committee, and I mean that in the bar sense of young. And we have representatives from different circuits, different areas of the country, and it's always the desire to have more members who represent even more areas of the bar. So it's always great to hear from people who want to be involved as well.
Yes, I mean, you've touched on some of the stuff that the Bar Council's Young Barristers Committee do. I'm going to call it the YBC. And you've given us some examples of that, and it's actually really interesting because, you know, you've done all the studying, and it doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, so you've done all that studying, you've worked really, really hard, you've come into the bar, and there you are, and this is a really good way, actually, a facility really for young barristers to be almost handheld in coming in and gelling with the bar and with their chambers and with their colleagues, and you provide that service essentially. I was looking at the two guides, actually, the Inside Guide to Life at the Bar. I thought that was very, very interesting. Yeah. And the Young Bar A to Z Toolkit. And I thought, oh, they're both very interesting because they cover topics such as managing your finances, negotiating chambers, workplace politics, well-being, work allocation, managing your own practice. So there's lots and lots of help actually across a broad spectrum, isn't there, of areas that a young barrister could be faced with.
Yeah, and the Inside Guide is something that we're really proud of because the name is essentially taken from the fact that the bar traditionally has not been known for being a very diverse profession. And obviously in recent years, a lot of work has been done to improve that. But we're really conscious that sometimes, especially if you don't know anyone in the law or no one in your family's a lawyer or a barrister, you may not sort of know some of the things that are known to people on the inside, so to speak.
No, it makes sense. For example,
You maybe don't know that it's really good to get involved in chambers committees. You maybe don't know that it's important to be going along to networking events with chambers because you maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable. And the Inside Guide is essentially there with the aim of improving social mobility, from giving people the perspective of this is how you make those first 7 years work for you in a way that's really going to make sure that no one is at a disadvantage, and so that everyone who reads the guide, we hope, is at a level footing. And we're hoping that was a project that I worked with alongside Catherine Duncan, who was the chair last year.
Yes.
And Catherine and I sort of thought of this should always be an evolving document. So the plan is to change it this year, and then I hope that my successor will change it the following year. And therefore, that equal footing is always there because, as we all know, issues change year on year. Culture may be quite slow to change at the bar, but it sometimes does change. So it's important that we're always updating it to make sure that no one's essentially being left behind. And there's a resource there that they can look at to really feel that they've been included and thought about.
There's a lot to think about as a young barrister who's just been admitted to the bar and you've just started working. You know, you're so busy trying to do the job right, trying to get all the experience you can to do the job correctly as a barrister, and you're trying to get your clients on board, because let's not forget, barristers are self-employed. They work for themselves. Ultimately, it's quite an interesting dynamic that goes on in chambers, because although, and we have spoken about this on many other podcasts, but although you belong to a set of chambers, you are self-employed, and you have to think about your own finances, your own taxes, and how do you generate more business, and where are the key places to try and network in order to, you know, get yourself out there as a young budding barrister looking for, hungry for the work, hungry to work hard and deliver the results. There's so much going on. So I think that this, you know, this sort of the Inside Guide to Life at the Bar, I think I find it interesting, actually insightful to read, because
all feedback is welcome as well, because we do want this to be really useful, and it does deal with employed barristers as well within firms, because obviously it is a distinct setting, but we do face a lot of the same challenges as our employed counterparts. So maybe actually some people who are employed settings may also find it helpful. But as you say, it's really right that a lot of people don't join the bar with the mindset that they're going to be their own kind of manager.
Or even with the knowledge, Joanne, you know, I think even if you set out to set up your own business and, you know, you have a different mindset than maybe a barrister does going to the bar, because you're so focused on trying to get that placement, on trying trying to get into a set of chambers which you're going to think that was one of my choices. I targeted that area of law. I wanted to practice in that area of law. You're so focused in that, and then getting to know all your colleagues, getting to know the way of life that actually happens in chambers, because chambers is a completely, sets of chambers and inns a completely different world. When I first turned up just over 10 years ago, I thought, oh, this is like Harry Potter land. It's great. I loved it, but it has that. And it, you know, I can just imagine what it's like if you're going to actually work there and be part of it. There's so much going on. And I just think that to have this kind of information available, that's free, it's accessible, is great. It's got to be great. But let's talk about, sorry, Joanne, I want to get all these questions in. I'm so eager to ask you so much. So let's talk about your aims at the Bar Council. As the YBC chair, what do you hope to achieve?
So setting out on this year, my aim was essentially a two-pillar approach. The first one was to work on retention at the bar, because what we've seen increasingly as time goes on is that for a lot of people who maybe reach around the 6-7 year point, just as you stop being a young barrister under our definition, a lot of people decide to go down different routes. And we think that's quite concerning for the profession as a whole. Obviously, a lot of the people who are leaving are doing so for completely understandable reasons, and we don't wish to in any way attack those, but we want to make sure that no one's leaving because they don't feel supported, because they don't feel their future secure. It needs to be, if they're leaving for positive reasons, that's good. But we've been really trying to address some of the retention points, and how we've been doing that is again by looking at things like the inside guide, so that no one feels that they've been disadvantaged from the start of their career. And it's also looking at things like well-being. So we've been putting a lot of our efforts at the moment into creating some wellbeing resources that are specifically tailored to the young bar, because being a young barrister is quite a unique experience, because you're in chambers for the first time. And as you mentioned, Hattie, chambers culture is unique, because you've got a group of primarily for people at the self-employed bar anyway, you've got a group of young people trying to navigate a sort of unspoken hierarchy within a set of chambers, and each chambers has its own unique culture. And sometimes it's only when you get into your pupillage that you realize what the culture is. So we've been trying to make sure that well-being is also supported, because I was very lucky when I did my pupillage that I was very well supported in that respect, but we want to make sure that everyone has the same opportunities. And we're hoping to launch those resources later on this spring. So hopefully that website will be launched very soon. And the second pillar for me was about social mobility more generally, and looking at the future of the young bar. So even though we currently only represent people from pupillage onwards, we know that if we actually want a diverse profession that's representative of the public that it serves, we need to be looking further back in the process to make sure that people are being encouraged to come to the bar in the first place. There's more work to be done there.
Well, actually, we're working as Get Legally Speaking, a very exciting project, which it will probably be launched by the time we air this podcast. And we're setting up a GoFundMe page to be able to fund a student through law school, through university. So, and from an underprivileged background who may not necessarily or may not have the opportunity to do so otherwise. And I hoped, as Get Legally Speaking, to be able to fund lots of underprivileged students, but we're saying to fund a student, because I don't know how much we're going to be able to raise, and obviously our efforts are going to be ongoing. But I'm super, super excited about that, because, you know, I just think that if somebody has shown the ability and capability, like you say, the YBC provides support from pupillage onwards, but for someone to actually even get there, if Get Legally Speaking can provide that support by way of this GoFundMe page, that would be one of my dreams come true. So I totally get it.
I think it's really important for us to make sure that people who have the ambition to come to the bar aren't put off at an early age. I mean, one of the things that was really formative for me was I took part in the Bar National Mock Trial competition, and we had barristers come into my school. I went to school in Dungannon in Northern Ireland, and two barristers came in, a barrister called Tony Lunny and Connor Lunny, his son, came in, and they let us try on their wigs. And it was
Wow, I love that. And because I was literally going to say, why did you want to become a barrister? I wanted to ask you that, because I think that's an interesting question. But obviously, how old were you? You must have been very, very young.
I was quite young. The first competition that I took part in was the one that aimed at Key Stage 3, as we call it. I don't even know if it's still called that. But and at that point, you did a magistrate's court version, which is actually very like the scenarios that very junior barristers find themselves in. But the senior competition is in the Crown Court, and barristers came in, and myself and my really good friend Kathy, she wanted to be a barrister too, and both of us got to be the barristers and tried on the wigs. And Kathy's now a barrister in Dublin.
Oh wow!
And so it's really that's why these things really matter. So, in getting back to the original question, and sorry for diverting us a little.
No, not at all.
But when we talk about social mobility, it's really important to me that the Young Barristers Committee, in any way that we can support people who are school age or maybe university age, who are trying their best to sort of figure out what this career is like. And the wonderful thing about our committee is we're very diverse. We are practicing in different parts of the country, in different areas of law, and hopefully therefore people can see a bit of themselves in us, because we're not
cloak and dagger. You're not cloak and dagger and all smoke. Well, actually, you may find it interesting, actually, Joanne, that we have over 100 episodes that we have published on Get Legally Speaking. And one of the top 10 most listened to episodes is "What is a Barrister? What do they do?"
Right.
But so, you know, people don't know. And there is because the law isn't part of our education, the standard education that we have, and Get Legally Speaking hopes to come into that part as well, where we're working, we've just started our efforts on working on bringing legal education in a basic level to schools, to secondary schools for the first 3 years. And we're really excited about that. It might take us a few years, but you've got to start somewhere. The fact is that where do you learn what a barrister is? You were very fortunate in your school. You know, you had these competitions going on. You had the knowledge was swirling around. You had these early experiences. But where do you learn what a barrister is and what they do? Because unless you interact with the law as an adult and you have a requirement for a barrister, and even then, and I say this from, you know, owning a law firm and my experience there, people don't really say, well, why do I need a barrister, or what do they do? They just say, yes, let's get the barrister in, because you say you need a barrister now to advise us at this level. So it's so important. What you're saying is really, really key, and I totally get it.
I mean, the efforts that we're making this year, I mean, there are lots of brilliant efforts going on, as you've just said, talking about getting into schools and things. And people like Alexandra Wilson, a young barrister who's written her book about her experience in coming to the law. All of that is really, really helpful. And the competition is great, because you don't have to be in a school that's actively pushing you down a particular route. Lots of different schools can join this, and the charity itself will pair the school up with a barrister. So there are a lot of volunteer barristers.
Oh, wow.
So it's really excellent. But the only issue that we have at the moment is obviously because education was disrupted due to the pandemic, and because the timetable for a lot of competitions was shifted and things. So although we didn't get the really running start that I would have liked at the start of the year, the hope is now that things are sort of easing in terms of restrictions, that we can focus again on that. Because I think we can't just look at the young bar now. We have to look at what's the young bar going to look like in 5-10 years time.
Yes, well, that's what I was just going to ask you. You know, how do you think the pandemic has affected junior barristers, and what might the long-term effects be, Joanne? What are your thoughts on that?
So I have to say the effect of the pandemic has been felt differently across every subject area. So, for example, the family law bar were very, very quick to adapt to remote working, astonishingly quick, and you know, they really were able to innovate very quickly in a way that I think was really remarkable and impressive. obviously, from a crime perspective, the criminal courts, due to the fact that juries were needed for jury trials, essentially there was a pause. Now, one thing that we all have to be very careful about is there's obviously a terrible backlog right now in the crown courts of cases that are awaiting trial, which is bad for victims, it's bad for defendants, it's bad for witnesses. But a lot of that backlog was actually in place before the pandemic started, and we really need to be mindful of that. And it's really fascinating to watch how the narrative is being shifted to blame coronavirus, where actually, if you look at the figures closely, obviously it has an impact, but it's not the whole story.
I still find it, sorry, Joan, I was just going to say, I still find it amazing how courts have adapted to being online. And, you know, I'm in court hearings with my clients and our barristers regularly, and I still find it astonishing. I think how efficient, how great, you know, because for me, before the pandemic, it was all about, oh, the courts one day, maybe going paperless, maybe going online, maybe doing this, and projects were obviously in place where in the background HMCTS and the government were working. And then all of a sudden it happened in weeks. It all came into place. And I think you've made a very, very important point there. You know, the coronavirus, I think, is going to be a word that we're going to hear for a very long time, because there is probably going to be a bit of a blame game on coronavirus. But ultimately, I think the point that you made is brilliant and very true. The backlogs were there anyway, because, you know, it's not that it just happened because of the coronavirus, but the courts and the government are working as close as they can, as fast as they can. And I do think that the innovation and technology that's just ramped up is going to help hopefully ease some of these backlogs as quickly as possible, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think in terms of the young bar, we were obviously very quick to adapt to that because, you know,
you guys are all young and you get it and you know technology, and people like me who are now slowly going over that bumper stage, should I say, aren't really good at technology. I don't think I've made any secret about it in the past.
I think we all have our sticking points. But what I would say, one thing that's lovely about the bar is there's this real collegiate atmosphere, and there's always been a sense of the more senior helps the more junior. Always, you know, if you have a problem, you call someone up, you take the call. If someone more junior than you calls you, and you try your best to help and give guidance, especially when something like an ethical query arises. But I thought what was really heartening about this was a lot of junior barristers in their chambers were training the more senior barristers on how to use various platforms and things. And I think that really underpins the collegiate atmosphere, and that it's not just one direction, and it gave everyone a real sense of value in the process. But what I would say is there are a number of challenges, obviously, for those who had their work adversely affected by the crisis, and there are financial knock-on effects. I do think that as self-employed people at the self-employed bar, a lot of people have gone from working in a set of chambers where they were always working in a semi-isolated bubble anyway, to working completely on their own. I think a lot of people have found that very challenging. And although remote working has huge benefits, and I have to say the criminal bar, because of the digital case system that we've been using in the Crown Court before the pandemic, which is essentially a platform where all of the papers are online and you don't have to work in most cases with physical papers, we were ready for that. But I think there is a problem where it has broken down the face-to-face collegiality, because I think a lot of people have gotten used to working in this way. And the challenge will now be on chambers leadership to make sure that people are supported. So that's a challenge that's currently facing the young bar. And I mean, in terms of looking forward, we do a lot of input on policy and legislative provisions that are being suggested and coming through. And, you know, we're trying to deal with those head on. So, for example, the Criminal Legal Aid Review is currently taking place under Sir Christopher
Bellamy. That's going to be an interesting one. That's going to be a very, very interesting one. Yes.
Yeah. And the Young Bar are feeding into those discussions as much as we can, just like we're feeding into discussions on the current youth court position and essentially looking at ways that we can make youth justice better. And it's not just obviously from a criminal perspective as well. We have the review at the moment of administrative legal work, and we're feeding into all of that. That's the wonderful thing about being a committee, because even though myself and my vice chair, Michael, attend lots of meetings and we speak to people directly, we also have members of our committee sit on all the different committees of the Bar Council. So we have people on the Law Reform Committee, the Legal Services Committee.
That's good. That's great. So you get a feed in directly from those tables, shall we say, into what you're doing, which is really great. You get that insight firsthand as well. Without having to read a report, you're literally there feeding it back, you know, verbally, if that's what's preferred. Okay, so I want to ask you this because I want to get it into our time. What piece of advice would you give to other young barristers, Joanne? What's your top tip?
I don't think I'm really in a position to be advising other young barristers, because the thing that I've seen, particularly through the committee, is how diverse the work that people are doing and interesting the work is, and all of their different side projects. So I don't think I could give really any advice. The advice that I was given as a pupil was get the train before the train, which has always stood by me, and they told us that in bar school as well. I'm going to plug the YBC line, and I'm going to say read the inside guide and please tell us if we need to update it, because you know, we're all learning in this process, and the bar, I think you never reach saturation point. So that's probably the best advice that I can give, is look at the inside guide if you're starting out and let us know how we can improve it.
That's brilliant. I mean, absolutely. Somebody might read the inside guide and say, do you know what, why haven't you included this in there? Because something that they have experienced or that they've thought about, you know, is incredibly important. And I think it's great that you guys are up for people to come back to you with their feedback so you can then improve on it. As you say, hopefully your predecessor will pick it up and run even further with it. Joanne, that's all we've got time for.
Thank you, Hattie. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much for joining me today. And I hope that this has been a really insightful podcast for our young and up and coming barristers, for our consumer listeners, for lay people, the old, the young, for everybody. And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Gets Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.